4. We're going to be diving into the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Verse 24 says, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." The rich man, he fared sumptuously. He had all manner of wonderful things, and the only thing he didn't have was a relationship with God. So when he died, he went to hell. When the man Lazarus, who stood at his gate, who was a beggar in the streets, when he would eat, it would be from the crumbs and scraps of this and that, and he had a rough life, and things weren't all that good, but he did have a relationship with God, so when he died, he went to what they called Abraham's bosom, and now we see the rich man here. He's upset. "Oh, please send that old beggar man down here to put just a few drops of cool water on my tongue." And Abraham, he answers him in verse 25. "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Very shortly saying, he's nobody's servant any longer. He has done his time. He has paid costs that he probably shouldn't have had to there in your gates. While you had all these wonderful things, he suffered and had nothing. He ain't leaving. He ain't going nowhere. He has earned these good things. Verse 26, "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance. Lord, we need your help. Father, there may be some here that need salvation. Lord, I pray that you help us with our needs. Because as the world gets just a little weirder and weirder every day, Lord, we find more and more need for strength. Help us, Lord. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. What the rich man is experiencing here is a bad case of, if I only knew. If I only knew. And hey, we need to find a way to tell those that I love that I was wrong. Somebody go warn them. I was reading an article in one of those Christian newspapers, and something that was mentioned there was, if we could only go back in time and warn the Christians that came before us, what would happen? And I look at the world today, and I look at its modes of worship that are more self-satisfying than they are an attempt to please the Lord. When you've got churches out there, and I use that word loosely, when you got these franchises out there, and they're taking worldly music with sinful and disgusting lyrics, and they're removing the lyrics and trying to put Christian words into them so we could sing them in church to get people to come in, you are failing worship. That music is to worship God, not appeal to the flesh. The flesh, one thing that should be subdued when we stand before God. The thing that separated us from God in the first place. When we see churches out there preaching heresies and bad doctrine, things that don't line up in the Word. When you see churches that are preaching things that line up in the Word, but they are allowing disastrous and hurtful things to take place within their community, we are failing. And then we look at the world around us, and we see, well, where are we on this topic and that topic. And wow, if we only knew. Wow, if we only knew not to watch the TVs that made this sort of behavior so much more easier to tolerate. Here's an idea. What if we took somebody whose lifestyle is an abomination to God? What if we took that person and we made him a funny character on the TV? Well, I think people would be more accepting to that lifestyle. And well, he, and ha, ha, ha. And then we take that person, and that's hilarious. And then the next show, we'll add a different kind of character to it. And it doesn't matter what kind of sinful lifestyle these characters have. Maybe they're drunken. Maybe they sleep around. Maybe they've got issues in sexuality. Whatever it is, we put them on the TV, and people laugh at it, and they joke at it, and they scream at it. Isn't it funny when they're a caricature? And then before you know it, you begin to see it in society. And people say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with drinking like this? What's wrong with acting like that? What's wrong with sleeping with this kind of a person? What's wrong with this kind of behavior? And then we see society get worse and worse and worse. And everybody goes, wow, sure is getting bad. Sure is getting bad. Lazarus is sitting there in his torments. Not Lazarus, I'm sorry. The rich man is sitting there in his torments. I've got five brothers. And today we look forward to our next generations and we say, if we only would have known then, we would be able to better protect the people now. And we can sit there and we can say that over and over. Only if we could go back in time to warn them. If we could warn them about the weird lifestyles that would come and would erupt from that, these weird ideas and philosophies, right? When we're sitting there and we're talking about biological terms, and all of a sudden, well, that just means, if you think the biological terms mean biology, there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with me. Biology is biology. Boy is a boy, girl's a girl. I can find 100 different ways in the body to prove it. Sit there, you can test all manner of ways to prove it. Oh, but that's not what... Isn't that weird? Isn't it? It's different, isn't it? Now, I'll give you this. I don't know how many conversations you've ever had to have a chance with some of these people that believe like this. Always boils down to this. There are societal norms, and we don't like them. So it's a bit of an overcorrection, but that's what we're doing. So you're lying so you can avoid stereotypes. You're creating more stereotypes to avoid stereotypes, right? That's what I do. When I burn my hand, I shove it right into some boiling water. That's what I do. I'll fix it. More stereotypes. Well, you know, with the ladies having to do this and ladies having to... Who'd want to be a lady nowadays? I don't know. It's not easy to be a man either. We're the bad guys for everything. Right? What a joke. Oh, if we could only go back and warn them about dress and warn them about how they preach things. Oh, if we could only warn them so that this wouldn't happen. If we'd only sit there and say, hey, listen, if we become permissive about this, the idea of pedophilia becoming a normalized thing will happen. And that's where we are. Oh, it would never go there. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. Isn't it funny how the moment they say it'll never happen, it starts to happen? Because even the people inside the asylum don't know where the thing's going. They don't know. And how is it that we keep lowering the standard? Well, you gotta be compassionate. You gotta be compassionate. Oh, you gotta be compassionate. I tell you what, there's certain behaviors I ain't gotta be compassionate for. You start messing around with kids, I ain't got to be compassionate. You start hurting young people, I ain't got to be compassionate. You start hurting other people, I don't have to be compassionate towards that. As a matter of fact, the Bible gives very strict instructions as to what to do to people who hurt people like that. Well, what if I ain't hurt nobody? Then the most compassionate thing that I can do is tell you what God would want me to tell you, and that it is wrong so that you don't stand before Him in a wrong position. Most compassionate thing I can do. Oh, if we could only warn men to dress like men and women to dress like women. Oh, if we could only go back in time and tell them where the abortion thing would go. Oh, if we could only go back in time and tell them about what's going to happen with our participation in government, what's going to happen in the schools. Oh, if we could only warn them what's going to happen in the entertainment industry. Oh, somebody build a time machine so we can go back so that they would know. I sit there so often like the rich man going, oh, we need to warn, we need to warn. Oh, we need to go back in time and warn the churches what worship will become. We go from rolling our eyes at the pastor's standard for music, and all of a sudden we're sitting there going, why on earth is a song that's in the top 40 that talks about perverse and awful things a part of what's going on upstate on stage up there? Why is that happening? Let me tell you. Because we scoffed. We scoffed at the truth. And we let things in that never should have been let in. Why? Because we got to be nice. We got to be compassionate. We got to go with the flow or people won't come in. Oh, if we could only warn them what's going to happen to doctrine. Study! Study! Hey, Baptist churches, study! Because it's going to come to a point where people put a microphone in front of your face, when people put the spotlight on you, and they ask you what you think, and they ask you what you believe, and you can't base it doctrinally, so you wander off. How many people have wandered away because they did not know doctrine? We've been talking about the pastor during Sunday school class for the last few weeks. Been tremendously comfortable for me. What is the point we keep coming back to? The Word. The Word. Why? Because that's exactly what it comes back to when you're the pastor. The Word. It's exactly what it comes back to. But for every church member, it ought to boil down and come to the Word of God. Oh, if we could only go back. Maybe they would listen. Hey, if I could take some pictures of things, and if I could take video back to them and say, this is what's going to happen if we don't listen. Maybe then they'll listen. Oh, but Abraham has a story to tell us, doesn't he? Listen again to what Abraham has to say. Abraham saith unto them, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. I'll sit there, I'll listen to these sermons that are older than me, that were recorded before I was born. And you know what they were warning against? Brother Titus, you know what he used to preach and warn against? The stuff we're seeing today. When Brother Smith would come up here and he would teach Sunday school class, I got some of that back there too, by the way. You know what he would come up here and he'd warn against? The stuff we're seeing today. And you know where they said that we would become desensitized to it from? The stuff we put in our eyes and the stuff we put on our ears. You know where they got that idea from? That weird mystical idea. You know where they got that from? The Bible. We teach it to the kids. Oh, be careful, little eyes. Oh, be careful, little ears. Because if you're not careful about the eyes, you're not careful about the ears, you're going to have trouble with what you say and what you do and where you go. It's a biblical thing, and we've been warned for a long time. Well, brother, how long? How long have we been warned that these things have been trying to get in? Let's take a field trip. Go grab your Bibles again. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. And while you're going there, I'm going to backtrack a little. Go to verse 21 of chapter 1. But you meet me there. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Where did the word come from? God spoke it through the Holy Ghost to the man of old. Wasn't their idea. Wasn't their thought. And we've looked at this before. Man would not come up with what the Bible says. Every time man puts his hand to a religion, fleshly things come out. We talked about Joseph Smith during Sunday school. Of course he wrote polygamy into his will. Why? Because that's the kind of pervert he was. Going up to other people's wives saying, hey, God says that I ought to marry you, so you need to leave your husband, come with me. That's the kind of weirdo he was. When you look at Muhammad sitting there with his mind, with his bride that was but a child. Why would he put that in the scriptures? Because that's what he liked. That's what man does. Now, when you write a book and you see the base mentality of man being shamed and warned and cautioned against and punished. See, when man writes a story, there's a good guy who is always good, who is always perfect, and who never fails. You look at all the good guys we see in the Bible, their flaws are brought out just as brightly as their successes. Nowhere in the Bible is there a man as lifted up nor brought down as David. Even the man who wrote 2 Peter, Peter himself, very few have dealt with the public humiliation that Peter had to deal with because of his impulsiveness. And yet here he is. Hey, listen, it's not us. Oh, prideful Peter, it wasn't the men of old. Verse 1 where I asked you to wait for me. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. It happened in the Old Testament, it happened in the New Testament, and it ain't stopped happening. When we talk about these heresies, we're not just talking about church heresy, biblical heresy. We're talking about any wild idea a man has. Well, how do I know that? Look at how he put it there. Even denying the Lord that bought them. There are people out there preaching that there is no God to their own destruction. There are people out there who are preaching against the Bible to their own destruction. There are people that question what God says to their own destruction. But the problem is, it's not just their own. It is the destruction of everybody who listens to them. Let's read a little bit more. Verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Hey, we're there. The good things are evil spoken of. Oh, you believe the Bible. Oh, you go to church. Oh, you're one of those Christians. You must be pro this, anti that. You must be anti. I'm not anti anything. I'm not. Well, I heard a brother say that. I'm not pro anything. I'm not anti anything. I'm thus saith the Lord things. I don't sit there and get raked over the coals about a lot of stuff that people do that's sin. That's your sin. I don't have to answer for it. I'm tired of it being around me. I don't like looking at it. But it doesn't hurt me to have to sit there and be with it. But I'll tell you this, it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt the people doing it. And they need to know. And the people that are among us need to know the dangers of the things that they are preaching. Again, more and more, we drove down and I was reminded once again, driving down past Detroit, you get into some of the more rundown areas. Marijuana advertisement. You go out to some of the richer neighborhoods, not so much. Now you get one over at Birch Run. You got one going into Frankenmuth now. But you don't see the big advertisement in the more affluent areas, do you? You want to know why? I'll tell you why. You got to keep those people quiet. You got to keep them dumb. They know what that stuff does. Anybody here who's ever done it, you know exactly what it does. You know exactly what it does. Oh, it calms my nerves. It does. Of course it calms your nerves. It shuts your brain off. They say ignorance is bliss. So is being shut off. Ain't got nothing to worry about. Battery ain't running on anything. You're just off. Well, I feel a lot better. Of course you feel a lot better. You're numb. You're numb. Oh, but it helps me with my... No, it doesn't help you. It shuts it off for a while. But it's still there. The problem still persists. Even though you found a way around it. Is it not much better to solve the problem? Is it not much better to get things right? They are making merchandise of these people. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and read that verse. I allude to it almost everything I preach nowadays. But through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Why is it that we're teaching young kids this genderistic theology? Why? To make merchandise out of them. Do you know how much money the medical profession makes off of these people? In pills and surgeries. You tell me why a doctor ain't stood up and said, hey, this is bad. You know what the insurance company does if there's a problem and they need to get medical, they need medical intervention for some of the stuff that they've done to themselves? You know what the insurance companies do? They don't pay for it. It's the same as if you were to have an elective surgery. You had your nose done or something like that, and you got infected, there was an issue with it, your insurance could have cause to say, hey, we're not going to cover it. And that's what it's doing to a lot of folks. Making merchandise. Why is it that we sit there and went into these poor neighborhoods? Why do we pump in the gambling things? And why do we pump in the marijuana things? Because they're more prone to purchase those things, yes. But again, why would we do that knowing what we know? Why would we sell lottery tickets at such a high amount? Why would we push these things knowing that it's only leading to more of their problems? Because they're merchandise! Why do we put the stuff on the TV the way that we do? The violence, the lewdness, why do we do it? Because people like it! And if you like it, what will you do? You'll watch it. So then they'll go to the advertisers and say, look at these poor slobs we've got who are paying attention to the content we're rolling out there. Do you want to advertise with us? And they go, here. Guess what? They're not making that content to entertain you. Remember how they make their money. Remember how they make their money. They don't make their money off of you, do they? DirecTV might make their money off of you. Comcast might make their money off of you. AT&T might make their money off of you. But you know who? You know how the big, you know Hollywood, you know where they make their money on? Ticket sales or advertisement space. Which means your product. Your product. Your merchandise. Well, I've got to watch this. I've got to listen to that. Oh, I just, blah, 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 blah. Everybody's doing it. Yeah, and they put things in there that entice your flesh and entice you and shut your brain off. And then, oh my, oh my. And then they just sell advertising space for you. Somebody told me recently, oh, we don't listen to this person because they're a billionaire now. And I go, well, what about the lewdness of their lyrics? What about the language that they use? What about the lifestyle that they promote? That doesn't offend you? But the fact that they've made sufficient enough money off of people, that bothers you? The fact that they are promoting a horrible thing and trying to teach you an awful thing, that's not enough? Staying in chapter 2, verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous, are they self-willed? They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greatest in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. I ask you to turn your eyes to these cities overrun by homelessness and drugs. Whose solution was it to give them clean needles? Whose solution was it to give them ways to do the drugs safer? They put that stuff out there for them. Oh, no, no, this is good. What are these people doing out there? They're dying. Taxpayer-funded death. Now listen, anybody who sits there and thinks that we're doing anything other than euthanasia, you're wrong. That's what it is. It's euthanasia with a good propaganda. Well, we got to make it clean for them. Clean for them to what? Overdose at numbers where your health care system isn't big enough to be able to help them all? Well, we'll dispense Narcan out there. Okay. Will it be enough? Will it be sufficient? Because at a certain point, everyone's going to be so zooted out of their mind, they're not going to be able to use the Narcan on their friend or get help for their friend. We see the very essence of what was taking place in the Lord's time taking place today. We think that we look back and, oh, they were barbarians back then, but we are a high society. Why? Because we're kind to men who love men, because we're kind to women who love women, and we're kind to people who can't decide if they're men or women. That means we are a higher society. We've got computers and things on our cell phones, and we've got technology nobody had. We are the height of evolution. We are the same blood-sucking critters that Peter was talking about. We are murdering our homeless, and we're calling ourselves dignified because we're giving them clean needles to do so. Verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Oh, man, you sit there and you're having a meal and, oh, yeah, here's this new debauched behavior I believe in. I'm super interesting now. I believe this. Aren't I new and creative? Somebody said this and I thought it was really funny. They're calling the new generation the Christopher Columbus generation because they're walking around believing they're discovering stuff. We discovered this new idea of being either this or that or whatever we want. Well, come here. No, you have not. We're the first generation that is okay with this kind of sexuality, this kind of substance abuse, this kind of free thinking. We're the first ones who don't believe in God. Oh, we are the cutting edge. No, you're not. Any form of godliness our country had was for but a whisper of a time in the view of history. We are reverting back to a more terrible, barbaric time. And we think that we are doing something special. And while we're sitting there feasting, these deceits that we have thrust upon ourselves, these deceits that are entering into the churches, these deceits that are entering into the home, we think we are so clever for having them, but they only ever lead to destruction. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. I tell you what, how many people do you know, instead of admitting that they can't stop what they're doing, they believe that it's part of their personality. They believe that it's a part of who they are or it's a culture that they back. Oh, no, listen, you see, yes, those religious people, that's just what they think about drinking and drugs and things like that. But to me, I'm a little bit more better. I align myself with the great philosopher George Carlin, blah, 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 who died at the hands of his vices. Who died because of the things he ingested throughout all of his life. See, we raise these guys up. Oh, no, no, no. I'm not stuck in sin. I'm not stuck to it because of a sin nature. I'm free. But they never get loose of it. They never get loose of it. That's not freedom. If you can't stop doing it, you don't have freedom from it. Are we free to smoke here? You're never free to smoke. Unless you quit, you ain't free. You're chained to the things. We're edging up on that time where people's addiction to smoking becomes questioned here in this country. When it's like -4 degrees outside and they're out there trying to decide if they want to take a break or not. You know? We were at a restaurant. We were out shopping. We were at a restaurant. We smelled smoke inside of a restaurant. It took me all the way back to the 90s. Like, man, you're not free. Well, I gotta have a drink every night or I can't relax. Don't you know my work? Whoa, hold on. Hold on. Let's take you on vacation. Well, you gotta drink on vacation. All right, so when you drink at home, it's because of work, but when you drink it's at the vacation, it's because you're on vacation. You want to maybe consider that there's a problem there? They can't cease from it. And they call it freedom. Verse 15, which have forsaken. I'm sorry, let me jump back up to where I was. Verse 14, cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. An heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Don't this look good? We'll put it in your favorite TV show. Don't it look good? Oh, yeah, it does kind of look good. You put it on the TV. Well, everybody's laughing at it. What? My buddy at school does it. Hey, listen, I'm a grown-up. I'll do what I want. You know, if I see that, it's legal. Now, I don't understand why I can't do this. Hey, listen, I might have stumbled. I might have made a mistake. We make all these excuses for sin. But the fact of the matter is, you weren't strong enough in your constitution to say no to it. And that's what we need to be. Strong enough in our constitution to call sin what it is, no matter how tempting it becomes. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. You know him. That was the guy with the donkey, who was so full of himself, the donkey had to start talking to him. Hey, what'd you hit me for? And I tell you what, there's a lot of folks, and we get there, we know exactly what I'm talking about, where we're so wrong, we've got our blinders on, we're not paying attention, and it takes extreme measures to get us to snap back to it. It is possible if we are not focused on what God has to say, we too could get pulled away. Verse 17, if you allow me to skip ahead a little bit, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. That there's an emptiness is what he's saying. There's an emptiness. I've seen people do things the Bible tells them not to do, and they do it because they believe that it makes them something. Right? I put an earring here, I put an earring here, I put an earring here. It's part of my character. No, it's a part of your face. I get a tattoo here, a tattoo there, I get tattoos all over. See who I am? That ain't who you are, this was on your skin. Well, fine, we'll see. This is how I say that I am. That ain't what you are, that's just what you say you are. Any fool with a Facebook could pull that off. There's an emptiness to them. Well, you see, I believe that this is the way it ought to be. You may believe that, but it ain't truth. It's not reality. I remember sitting there at work one day. We were working outside, and I saw these clouds coming over. And I looked up at them, and I go, oh, boss, it looks like it's going to rain. It was like 90 degrees outside. We've been out there for like 6 hours. It was looking like it was going to go into overtime. And I was thinking, man, maybe if we could just finish at our regular allotted time, and maybe if the rain started, we wouldn't have to be out here until, you know, 10 plus hours out here in this beating sun. And I thought, oh, here. Looks like it's going to rain. My boss looked up. Oh, no, those clouds are empty. Don't worry about it. Sure enough, we got overtime that day. You know, those clouds didn't have anything in them. And that's what a lot of we see in this world today. Oh, man, we've got great things. There's nothing there. You got another YouTube video in you. You got another this in you. You got another fun idea. You got another person that you can shame for not agreeing with your sinful lifestyle. You got another thing to promote. You got another book to write, but you ain't got nothing in you. You got flash, you got bang, but you got no substance. There's nothing there. It is a cloud dark and dreadful, but provides no rain, serving only to block out the sun. Verse 17 goes on, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. These wells, could you imagine being athirst? You're walking through the wilderness and you see a well. Salvation. What a wonderful thing. And it's got a bucket on the top and the rope is there. And all you need to do is lower that down. And you can feel your voice cracking. And you just lower that down. And you get that down there. Clunk. Clunk, clunk. Clunk, clunk. There's no water. There are young people. There are older people who are rushing to these sinful ideas. And these people who stand up with their brand new ways. We've got the solution! And young people and older people alike are running to these vain philosophies, these sinful lifestyles, and these influencers who are giving it to them. And they're getting down to the bottom of that well, and there's nothing there. But because we already went to the parade, we got to pretend we see the emperor's clothes. Nothing yet, but I'm sure fulfillment is coming. Nothing yet, but I'm sure purpose and meaning and peace is coming. We just got to keep running the bucket down and back up. And eventually I'll feel like a good person. Eventually what's missing will be whole. Maybe if I hate my parents enough. Maybe if I hate the church enough. Maybe if I hate men or women or whoever enough. Maybe I'll find it. That water ain't coming out of that well. That water ain't coming out. Get used to being unsatisfied. Get used to the dryness, because that's all you'll find in those wells. Sit there, oh no, I'm so much happier now that I've done this, so much happier now that I've left the church and I've embraced my sinful lifestyle, so much more happier now that I've given myself freedom! Minus the anxiety, the depression, the confusion, the inability to handle stress. Minus those things, I'm doing fine. Man, that sounds like a pretty big thing to have to cope with. Things that the Lord takes away. Oh, sure, there'll always be hurt. There'll always be some things here or there. But I'd much rather the burden I have now than the burden I would have had without Him. Verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. And folks, that is their conversation. Great swelling words of what? Vanity. You know what vanity is? Something that looks good but is useless. Something that looks good but is useless. Well, you see, when I dress like this, it makes me... Something that sounds good, looks good, but it's useless. I ever tell you about my boss? I got this boss, one of the greatest bosses I've ever had. This is the only thing I've ever been able to poke at her for. She used to wear these heels. Man, just she was almost standing vertical with her feet, man. It was terrible. And she'd walk around the place like that. And then we'd have to go walk units, so we'd be walking around buildings and things, and she'd be in these giant heels, she'd sink into the mud, and have a hard time. Why don't you just put a comfortable pair of shoes on? These look good. Nothing about you digging yourself out of the grass looks good. You'll see people, they'll show up to things barely dressed, they're always fixing their clothes and dropping this down here and over. That don't look comfortable. You know why I wear these? I get made fun of sometimes because I'll do the belt and suspenders. The suspenders kind of keep me in the area. No, I'm sorry. The belt keeps me in the area. The suspenders make sure I don't do this all day. It's the way a man ought to dress, I think. So that you're not sitting there fooling with your clothes. People sit there, well, this makes me look beautiful. I'm speaking my piece. While their clothes are a part-time job all day. And they got to sit there and worry if men are looking at them or if so-and-so's looking at them. If so-and-so can see something, they're, oh. If only there was a biblical mandate for how we ought to behave ourselves so that we don't have to do that all day. Well, I don't think it's appropriate for people to be looking. Well, here's an idea. Don't put it on display. Don't put it on display. And I tell you what, we give a hard time to women. Men, if you're amen and you look good and hard at yourself. We think that just because we're not ladies, modesty don't matter for us. Modesty matters just the same. Matters just the same. Because modesty is not a matter of whether or not a man will fall around you. It is a matter of whether or not you are respecting your body. Whether or not you're respecting yourself. And whether or not you're honoring the Lord in what you're doing. Oh, but I've got to. It's vanity. You're putting on a show, but it don't do nothing. It doesn't mean anything. Well, I do this. No, it's nothing. It's nothing. Only the things that God has for us matters much. Verse 19, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. If only we could warn people of these things. These things written in the book sitting right in front of you that's been there for almost 2,000 years. No. Going back in time will do us no good. They had the preachers. They had the word. They had the cautions. The stuff that they had then was bad in their opinion. They looked at it. They said, this is getting out of control. And the younger generation came up and said, it's not that bad. Let's try a little bit of it. And now we're looking back going, what are our kids getting into? What are they? Why would they do that? Why would they think that? Why would they be a part of that? Well, you sit there and you look at the overall generation of time. You have the stoic, teetotaling Baptist grandparents who give birth to children, who sneak a little drink here or there in the basement, maybe run out with their friends, go driving around, and maybe had a little boyfriend or two, girlfriend or two outside of marriage. In their mind, it's not what mom and dad would have liked, but it's not that bad. And then they turn around and they got their daughter off in college getting herself blackout drunk at a party full of a bunch of men who will use her in any sort of ways. As a parent, that shakes your hands, don't it? What would possess a person to completely throw away all control of their bodily function and give it to strangers? Especially strangers who have shown themselves to be predatorial in nature. Drunken college boys ain't ever been exactly a safe spot. Makes you nervous, don't it? And then we sit there and they grow up and they have kids. And now their kids, we got to find something to rebel against. Mom and dad are getting hammered every night. They got their eyes glued to the television. They're so addicted to this and that. And they're so permissive about everything because grandma and grandpa were so strict. We got to find something else to rebel against. I tell you what, two or three more generations, we're going to have kids sticking their heads in tubs to try to breathe water just because mom and dad say you can't. We're going to have some issues. But the issue isn't that we haven't warned enough. The issue is that we haven't heeded the warnings. Let's go back to Abraham for a second. Luke 16. And verse 30. And he said, this is the rich man, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. No, if it's magic, they'll listen. If it's magic, if it's unbelievable, they'll believe it. So you got to send someone who had died. You got to do something special because this is bad. Verse 31, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Now how would Abraham know that? Because I tell you what, if there's one thing that heaven knows, it's that the reason why man ain't listening isn't because people aren't entertaining enough. It's our sin nature. Well, that's one way. But I can think of another way. Well, that's one idea. That's Grandma Grandpa's idea. That's the church's idea. That's old-fashioned America's idea. But I'm on the cutting edge. Oh, you're on an edge. And it cuts. And it bleed. He'll bleed. And there's no safe spot on it. Because as soon as you get comfortable with one ideology, another one comes along. And another one on top of that. And where you find yourself, new age and interesting today, you will very soon find yourself outdated and bigoted. There was a time when perhaps we looked at some things that the old preachers have preached out of the good book, and we have said, maybe that's not for me, maybe I've got a different idea. And they try to deal with you. And they try to talk with you. And you sat there and you threw your arms up going, man, I'll do what I want to do. Maybe you're respectful, maybe you're kind, maybe you weren't. I don't know. But I'm sure we've all been there in one way or the other where we heard a thing preached or heard a thing said and we went our own way. Do we see the danger in it? Do we see the danger in it now? Now that we've had a chance to live with it, do we see the danger? We've had the teaching. We've had the preaching. The one thing that we cannot allow ourselves to do in light of what we have heard and seen is to not listen. We cannot send somebody back to warn people about what was going on. Number one, because the pulpits were already filled with people warning them about what we would have gone there to warn them about. They were already doing the job. And number two, it wouldn't make any difference. But you know what we do have to do? Until the Lord comes back, we have to have another tomorrow. We can't go back. We have no choice but to go forward. We must go forward. What will we listen to? What will we pay more attention to now that we understand that the old warnings are actually coming true? They always have. Well, don't do this. This will start to happen in the family. And if we lose the family, the government will take it. No. Now where are we? What do you mean you don't want your kid to go and get hormones we ain't even tested on pigs, let alone humans? What do you mean you don't want them to go for elective surgery before the age of 18? We'll fix you. What do you mean you don't want us to teach them more about social rights than ABCs and 1-2-3s? We'll show you. Oh man, if we don't turn this music away, it's going to become a huge problem. Oh, I don't see it's going to be a huge problem. Let's take a look at music today. And you tell me how big of a problem you think we've got. Yeah, music nowadays, we never would have gotten away with music. Anybody remember Jerry Lewis? Sure you do. Jerry Lewis, think about the songs that he wrote about love. And remember that he wrote them about a 14-year-old girl. Well, hold on. Listen to some of these greats, right? And come back to it. Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton's been spoken about. I'm not talking a lot about Dolly Parton. She was just in a football thing. Dolly Parton just out of nowhere, 77, decides she's going to have another career. Something's going on. Everyone's talking about Dolly Parton. You pay attention to some of those songs. Oh, this singer, that singer from you pay real close attention to those songs that we still think are okay. Listen to those lyrics and then wonder who gave birth to this monstrosity? How about Christian music today? Anybody here, you get fed up with some Christian music today? I sure do. They had a man in a dress at the Dove Awards. I can't remember if he got an award or not. Rages against Christianity in a lot of ways. Rages against the patriarchy, all that sort of stuff. Writes and performs Christian music at the Dove Awards. Now I'm going to say something and it might get some people upset at me. And I'm okay with that because that's what I do. You know who helped us get to that point? Bill Gaither. Bill Gaither. Think of some of the stuff that he let in. Think of some of the things that he pushed. Mark Lowry. Think of some of the things he normalized in music. He might not have been able to see what would have happened after he set that off. But that's the genesis of it. And before him, there was more guys doing that. How do we put more world into godly music? Here we are. Now listen, I listen to the Gaither Tree. I love God, the Gaither Quartet. I do. But we got to call it what it is. There's some bad stuff. And if we don't become better at our discernment and our obedience at that discernment, what will the future hold? The devil's going to have his way. He's going to mess with folks. But we got to be strong enough to not be a part of that nonsense, but to be on the other side. The one sitting there preaching like Peter preached. We cannot fix what was done in the past. But we can fix things now. We can obey God now. And purpose to listen to him now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for your word that you've preserved for us. Lord, the things that you have done. Lord, the things that you've made available to us as tools for our edification. Lord, for our rebuking. Lord, for our education. Father, thank you. But Lord, I pray you work deeply in our heart. Convict us. Lord, teach us. Help us, Father, to be able to obey and to do the things that you've asked for. Lord, not being rebellious, not thinking we've got a better idea, but Lord, truly seeking wisdom, not vanity for fun, but wisdom. Lord, we know this, that the life that we will find there will be far more rewarding than anything we could have created in our own hurt. Help us, Lord. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.